Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast, where we try to classy up some wrestling. I'm Chris.
I'm Joe.
And where to begin this eventful Monday night?
Oh my!
Night
such
wrestling
a such
event
a bag of wonders
from
to pull
the Philly
from.
Philadelphia and the land of just apparently nothingness is what we got from the WWE.
Well,
Joel, just, you know, opening general thoughts.
Well, let's see. I guess it's because we're getting pretty close to WrestleMania. They don't want to hurt any stars too badly, but yeah, Raw is promos tonight. And kind of nothing new was added to these promos. Because, to be frank, we're ready to see all the matches. And
yeah,
that's the downfall of having stuff start at WrestleMania 27 and go all the way to WrestleMania 28. A year-long build-up means that these last 2 weeks are just like long stretches of, I'ma get you. No, I'ma get you. No, I'ma get you.
This is a classic example. That, and we see it every year. This is what happens when you plan out the beginning and the end result. And then you just kind of make it up in between there. Like, you know that you have to go from here to here. And I know that me saying that doesn't make sense because I'm using hand motion, but you can't see that.
You need to go from point A to point Z.
Or you can just visualize me holding out my hand on one side and another hand on the other side.
Point A,
and like,
point Z.
Almost like a half carrying referee signaling a field goal is good. And they don't build up. They didn't really think about the in between.
Right.
They're just like, well, we'll start it this way, and we know where we want to go with it. But we'll just figure out as we go how to get there. And, you know, they planned a certain extent, but now they're just like, what do we do now? Like, and in John Cena and Rock's case, like, yeah, we've been doing this for an entire year.
Right.
What else could we do?
What is left?
I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure the whole concert thing from last week was just kind of bottom of the barrel. Like, we have no other ideas.
They went back to The Rock's home videos this week.
Yeah.
Where he stood in front of a semi-important monument, did some pandering to the hometown crowd.
I still love how he referred to the Rocky statue. He referred to Rocky as a, like, this man, and I'm like, Rock, it's a fictional character. Like, he doesn't exist. Like, he ceased to exist as soon as, you know, someone yelled cut. Are you just going to tell me that it's all real?
No, I want to say my favorite part of this whole thing this week was the thing that he decided to shove up John Cena this week was Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, something that the city prides itself around.
Right, but he previously described how he was going to take it and mash it into a giant cheesy ball, turn it sideways, and then the rest of the saying. And I just had it going, how do you turn a ball sideways? Because
it's still the same shape no matter how you turn it.
Right. That doesn't really work geometrically. So,
honestly,
and I don't think I could give this episode of Raw a better review than I was really interested in the geometric figures of a sphere in the middle of the promo for the biggest match.
And see,
ever
that's your thoughts.
2 weeks.
I was thinking at the time, dear God, I could actually go for some Philly cheesesteak balls right now. Never had one. Now, I'm not sure if they even exist in the real world, but I had already eaten, like, not too long before that, but at that point, I was salivating for some Philly cheesesteak balls.
Well,
just coming from the fat guy, so whatever.
All in all, I'm afraid there's not much to talk about. We've talked about everything.
That's it. That's the llama. Huzzah.
I don't want to make this a 6-minute episode of Classy Ring Attire. So
okay, so let's shoot for at least 10.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do now.
What are we going to do?
We're going to take this WrestleMania match by match. All right?
Oh,
and
dear.
We're going to look at the build-up and where this build-up has fallen short. So the stipulation that you have to work under is that WWE has come to you and said that this is the WrestleMania card. You cannot change the card, but how do you get to this card at this point? So you still have to have the extra girl be on your WrestleMania card. You can't sneak out of that way. But
You're talking about Maria Menounos?
Yes.
Yes, that one.
That one. But maybe, you know, don't announce that match on Extra without her ever having been on an episode of Raw prior to that.
Just, you know, more, you know.
Maybe a thought bubble.
You know, a question within the stipulation.
Right.
The Team Teddy versus Team Laurinaitis, do we just take the teams as they are right now? Because not everyone's been announced yet there, sir.
I would say that the slots that are left you can fill as you will. But
okay.
you cannot change anybody from a face to a heel or vice versa for them.
Okay. I might need a refresh from when we get there too, for you to remind me who All exactly right. is on what team right now.
Well,
cuz I know who's rumored but I can't remember who's announced, but
yeah.
Just tell me that when we get there.
Right. Starting with the big, let's start with Rock and Cena, which the build up has been going on over a year now. It's been going on since last March when Rock returned for the first time in 7 years. Woo, woo, woo. And onward and upward.
Okay.
Would you announce this match right after WrestleMania the way they did?
I have no issue with the way that was played out. Because it's something that hasn't been done before, and you know, the company's all about doing something new.
Right.
While ironically doing things the same old way they've always done it. But that's another argument for a different time. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think a better plan should have been put forward after this. Because you remember during those summer, fall months, Cena really didn't have anything to do.
Right.
And a lot of the things that he was involved in felt forced, like, oh, I don't know, Kane.
Yeah.
So, my only thing is that, one, I would have come up with a better game plan for Cena. Two, I would have had The Rock be involved more than he was.
Uh-huh.
Especially between that Survivor Series, because he went from Survivor Series to after Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
You didn't see him at Raw at all.
Right.
You know. So that lost a lot of momentum, I felt. And I know I'm not alone in feeling that way. So I know we've rolled our eyes at a lot of the promos that Rock has had. But, you know, maybe I would have come up with something new material. I don't, because it seems like he's just using the same tired lines.
Here's the thing, I don't want to say no to announcing a match a year in advance, because I do agree with you, new thing, interesting thing, and the fact that if you're willing to, you know, if The Rock's willing to come back for two WrestleManias in a row like that, you would be a fool not to use him on both WrestleManias. But the problem with announcing that match is that these two cannot come to blows for a year. And anytime you talk to them, they have the same complaints about the other guy. They have the same things in their promos. I do think, I really liked the fact that they teamed up for SummerSlam. But
while
again,
still having that tension.
Yeah, I liked it as an idea. I thought that was terribly mishandled.
Because they just threw the Miz and R-Truth in there. Like, there was no story there. There was no interest in the actual, like, team that they were facing up against, you know?
And up until that week, John Cena was beating both of them by himself.
Exactly.
At no point was I thinking, like, the idea should have been that the only way Cena can beat them is if The Rock, is if he was willing to team up with his enemy there.
Just strictly from a storyline standpoint.
Yeah.
Take away all the glitz and all, like, the excitement over The Rock. Storyline purposes, I would have been more excited for Miz and R-Truth going up against CM Punk and Triple H.
Yeah.
Because there was more of a connection there. There was a more cognizant line of thought there. Whereas they just needed someone for Rock and Cena to go up against, and they just decided that the traditional Survivor Series match wouldn't have been a good fit for it, so.
Right. I would have personally liked it to be them to be as part of the traditional Survivor Series match.
Because we ended up not caring about the Survivor Series match.
Right, it just kind of felt stuck in there. But I wouldn't have required that. What I really think should have happened is a long build-up. We knew that The Rock was going to be at Survivor Series in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
And by, it was either September or very early October, we knew that they would be teaming up. We knew that Cena and The Rock would be on the same team. So throughout all of that should have been the storyline build-up for this, instead of the last 2-3 weeks before Survivor Series, which is on the TV, at least, the first time we ever heard of Cena and The Rock teaming up for anything. So to do that would have added a whole subplot in this storyline. They could have talked about different stuff. They would have had a different outcome. And I think that would have given them a lot of material to talk about between Survivor Series and now.
Yeah.
That they don't have, that now they're having to resort to the same things they have to resort to a year ago.
Yeah.
Whereas it not only has it run its course, a lot of it just doesn't feel accurate anymore. The Fruity Pebbles thing, he's wearing a black shirt now, and there aren't any black Fruity Pebbles.
Or at least there's not supposed to be.
No. And if you get black Fruity Pebbles, throw that box out, because
once again,
something's gone horribly wrong,
you know.
Slash possible rat droppings in your cereal.
Exactly. This public service announcement is brought to you by Uncle Joel and Uncle Chris. Now, you know, go back to sleep.
Yes. Involvement by The Rock. The fact that this feud has been carried, for the most part, by John Cena, and half the time he's on this, you know, The Rock has betrayed you, I never will, this is why I will fight for you, my friends. And the other half of the time, it's The Rock is a good guy and huge honor to face him. And though, you know, because there's nothing, he's just kind of throwing stuff out in the air to see what sticks, what lands. And it's not working, and I'm tired of it. And it's still a thing where you can't mess this up. It's something that kids with action figures on the playground have dreamed of.
Right.
You know?
And you're right, this is something that you can't mess up, but dear God, the company's trying.
They've come so close
to
mess up
their
an unmess-upable match,
yep.
If that's a word.
Like, it's one of those things where you could mess this match up if you didn't have any promos. If there was
right.
a complete, just, black hole of promos.
Yeah.
And you just had the match. We would have been fine. We would have been excited.
Yeah.
That tells you how bad these promos have been. Either, you know, it's just John Cena just carrying it on his own,
mm-hmm.
those months where Rock was not around, or Rock coming out and using the same old terrible lines he's been using all year, and just being completely just uncreative. Like, it's that shows you just how terrible those promos have been. Now, as of lately, John Cena's definitely picked it up, because now he has something to work off of.
Yes.
The only problem is Rock's not doing the same thing. He's not taking what Cena is currently saying and building anything off of it.
The best thing Rock has done since he's actually been on a weekly basis, I think, is when Cena called him out on stuff and he kind of fumbled and said some different things. It was the week that he wrote stuff on his wrist. And it's a thing where it feels like it's a cry for something different. And
yeah.
And we do, you know, we're close. We only have one more week. And it's a thing where it feels like there's nothing left to be said, yet something needs to be said to try and get me back into this.
Right.
And I don't know what it can be at this point, but I need something to make me get, and to, again, if they fail terribly, it's going to be the thing I'm most looking forward to at WrestleMania, but I would like something. I would like the promo part of this feud to end on a high note. Because it started on such a high note. When The Rock came back, cut a promo like he had never left. Cena came out, cut the best promo in 5 years. And it felt like, you know, at least the greatest promo guy of all time against a guy who is not one of the greatest, but
if you give him something to work with, he can feed off of it.
Yeah, his quality of promos directly correlates to who he's up against.
Yeah.
And so to put him against The Rock, he's going to be the best he ever is. And so this should have been an amazing war of the words for a year. Yep. And again, you know, if you had told me a year ago, I would have said these two can carry on a promo feud for a year. But they didn't.
I would have been right up there with you, definitely.
So, and again, I don't think it's entirely that they failed to do it. I think at some points they just didn't for long stretches of time, and that's what caused them to fail.
Either by extreme, lack of foresight, or just out of laziness.
Yes.
You know. I don't know which one's the case, obviously, you know. We aren't really behind the scenes, although we should. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure someone's listening to us, because it sounds like they're taking our ideas sometimes.
Yep. Every now and then, once in a great while.
So maybe they can finally take a good idea like this one, or a constructive idea.
Constructive criticism. That's all it is. It's just some constructive criticism.
You got it.
All right, let's move on.
Moving on.
So the other match that has been kind of a year in the making, though not officially, but pretty much, is the end of an era match, as they're calling it now, which is the second year in a row that Undertaker will be facing Triple H, the fourth year in a row that he will be facing a DX team member. How would you have booked this for WrestleMania 28?
I don't know how I would book this, but I know if they want to keep it going, book Road Dogg in for WrestleMania 29. He's around.
I don't think he's too busy.
And Sean Waltman's around too, so I mean, you know, book Xbox for Xbox. Book X-Pac for WrestleMania 30. You know, whatever, keep it going.
Sure, why not?
China's still alive. We got WrestleMania 31.
I don't know if Undertaker will be still alive after that.
Well, I mean, one thing would be for sure, that the streak would still be alive.
Yeah. Fair enough. I guess it kind of depends on how much was planned during WrestleMania 27.
Yeah.
I do think that them feeding off of the "I won but was beaten" whole thing at WrestleMania 27 is the best way they can go with another Triple H Undertaker thing. I can't think of any better way to have these guys be in a feud than "you won but I lost" and, you know, technicalities and "I couldn't walk out of the ring on my own power," etc., etc.
And, I mean, part of it is pretty much, like, it's almost as if you can picture Triple H and Taker sitting in a room full of mid-carders and low-carders and just, like, "so, how are we going to do this year? Who is going to face The Undertaker?" Looks around the room. Trips looks at Taker. Taker looks at Trips. And they're like, "hey, you wanna?" Taker's like, "sure, I wanna." Insane.
Yep.
That pretty much is just... It. And I mean, I know... Yes, and... Even if it's not planned this far ahead, like this, if it wasn't planned all along,
mm-hmm.
It just seemed like who else is going to go against them? You know, Jericho's booked up.
Yeah.
All the big guys are booked up. I mean, the only not booked up is Miz. And I don't think we want a Miz versus Taker match. He's not there yet.
No. That's the thing is, like, you know, just a couple months ago, anybody predicting this was predicting Jericho with, you know, the Hope Against Hope slot going to Brock Lesnar or something. Maybe Randy Orton. But, yeah, it's a thing where I hope that this wasn't a year in the making. Because if this was a year in the making thing, Triple H should have lost last time, you know, ended his career and gone on to someone else this year. But if it wasn't a year in the making and come December, January this year, and they're looking around going, "we need Undertaker to face somebody," Triple H is just sitting there and there is this, you know, ready-made story kind of for them to feud about. So, as far as I can say, it's under the circumstances, this is as good as they could have done. I will give this one a stamp of under the circumstances.
You hear that, WWE? Way to give it your almost. Yay.
Yeah. All right, next up, CM Punk, Chris Jericho, World Heavyweight Championship.
I'm going to call it, and I'm pretty sure this isn't this isn't, you know, that big of a step on a ledge or anything like that. Match of the night.
Yeah.
What I think it's interesting is that I heard someone say earlier today, I can't remember exactly who, but they made the point where, you know, you have CM Punk who basically pays tribute to Randy Savage in almost every match. And then you have Chris Jericho, who basically credits everything that he does and everything that he is to Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if you have those two elements going up against each other again, I'm completely and utterly for that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's going to be the next best match of all time, but it has the potential. And
yeah.
I'm all about for the potential, and I'm excited to see it. And when it comes down to the brass tacks, isn't that what it's all about? It's just being excited for it.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's like the point that we were making last week. We didn't need this whole extra punk family.
The whole thing where addiction story apparently line. Chris Jericho is the world's greatest private eye. And I'm pretty sure next week he's going to reveal Punk's social security number and long form birth certificate, revealing him to be not an American.
Full disclosure, whenever we cut to via satellite with Jericho, and he was apologizing, and he was like, but then there's your sister. I thought his next line was like, I had sex with your sister. Like, I was completely expecting that story.
I was expecting that one.
I don't know why, because, you know, everyone knows Jericho's a happily married man. He has, you know, a family and everything, but for some reason that hit my mind and me like, that would be the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, okay, so, yeah, I still stand by the idea of, I didn't need this. I was more excited than this. What I think must be going on, which I can, if not agree with, I can at least very much understand it, is their two biggest matches, the Rock Cena and Taker and Triple H matches, in both cases, there's not a clear face-heel setup, you know? In both cases, it's kind of a 50-50 split, or that's what they're going for, at least. So, for this match and for the other title match, it seems like they're very much trying to cement, this is the good guy, and this is the bad guy. You know, because Jericho's really, you know, jumping on the worst possible subjects to try and gain her heat. Daniel Bryan, they're just throwing everything, you know. Oh, you like meat? This guy's a vegan. Oh, he's terrible to women. Oh, he doesn't like your face. Oh, what's that? You live where? He hates that place. Oh,
just the classic, you know, heel, like, maneuvers.
Any way to make Daniel Bryan a heel, they're making him a heel right now. So, but, yeah, would you change anything about the Punk-Jericho build-up?
You know what? I probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't touch this one.
At all? Really?
Really at all, because to be honest with you, you know, we've had a week to kind of think about where the new angle's taking it.
Yeah.
And I see it now as just something new for them to talk about. For them to have a reason to be on camera. Because they won't be wrestling as much until WrestleMania.
Okay.
So it gives them something to do, something to talk about until WrestleMania. That keeps our interest, then we don't forget. Yeah, and then we're not like on WrestleMania, we hear, you know, oh, this next match, and we're like, oh, yeah, I forgot all about that match, huh? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that we would completely forget about it, because I'm pretty sure we'd both still be stoked about it.
Right.
But it's just something.
All right. How about the Daniel Bryan and Sheamus match? Would you change anything about that booking?
I would add some sort of more heat between the two.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't seem like there's any heat between the two. Like, it's all been about Daniel Bryan and his relationship with AJ. Like,
yeah,
that's just been the whole thing. And there's no real, like, story there. Like, it's almost as bad as, and I mean, you know, there's plenty of ironic comparisons between the two. There was no real connection between Edge and Del Rio last year.
Right.
You know, but yet they still had these big clashing moments leading up to it, and there just hasn't been any sort of clashing moments between the two.
Here's what I would have done, and I grouped these two together because I already talked about on a previous podcast the way I would have reintroduced Chris Jericho differently. And just to reiterate, I would have done away with the whole not talking for 10 minutes things that happened when he came back. I would have brought him back in the last 2 minutes of the go-home episode before the Rumble. And I would have had him win the Rumble and go after CM Punk. Then I would have had Sheamus. Actually, you know, at that point, I would have had Daniel Bryan go against Mark Henry or Big Show and continue that storyline, which kind of feels like it's been shoved under the table. But to stay with the rules of the game, and have Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus be my WrestleMania match, I would have had Sheamus win the Elimination Chamber, because it would have kept us from having two retaining champions in the same night at the Elimination Chamber, which felt odd to me.
It would have made more sense having Sheamus on the poster.
Right. Sheamus could have been on the poster for reasonableness. And there would have actually been a little bit of, you know, animosity between the two, with Daniel Bryan wanting his belt back, and
yeah,
there's something to feud over right there.
Or you don't even have to have Sheamus, like, win the belt. He could have just been in the match, and something would have happened within the match that angered them, but it came down to those two.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Bryan did something
underhanded
to win it, and sets up Sheamus to be the number one contender. And they still would have had plenty to work with.
Yeah.
But the thing is, none of that happened.
I think it all goes down to they wanted to be unexpected, and everyone was expecting Chris Jericho to win the Rumble, and so they changed it at the last minute and threw Sheamus in there, kind of, oh, that guy wins. There we go.
Right.
Which resulted in this kind of less than perfect build up to that match.
I'm going to go ahead and call it. This is first match of the night.
First match of the night?
Watch.
I suspect so. Maybe Orton versus Kane might be the first match of the night.
I don't see it. I don't know. Orton's too big. Or Orton's too big of a name.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's a top-heavy WrestleMania this year. You've got you've basically got four main events this year. So, moving on, let's go to Randy Orton versus Kane next. Anything you want to do to this match? I mean, there's been very little build-up to begin with, and it's all kind of the result of Randy Orton being injured and out during the weeks where feuds for WrestleMania start. And so, but you can't have WrestleMania without Randy Orton.
What I would have done was, I would wrap Randy Orton very tightly into bubble wrap. And yeah, I just would have proceeded like that. You know, bubble wrap doesn't get to come off until WrestleMania.
Yeah, because poor Randall Keith is a little bit accident prone.
Yeah, just a little bit. And, I mean, he was doing good injury-wise for a while. Like, he had those string of injuries before he blew up when he was still a heel. And
yeah,
he was doing fine for a few years. And all of a sudden, just everything at once.
Yep. I wouldn't change anything about this.
There's nothing to change. Like,
yeah.
It's nothing.
It's only been going on for 3 weeks.
I
think they'll put on a fine match.
It's going to be a buffer match between some of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
I feel. It
won't be amazing. I think it'll be probably fine. I think it'll end with an easy RKO to give us a feel-good moment. So, there we go. The Divas Tag Team. What would you change about this? And remember, it still has to be on the... You can't change it to not existent.
Way to screw up my answer.
Breaking the rules.
Yeah, I would have announced it on Raw, for one. And I would have... Because I didn't see the video when it happened, or... I didn't see it until
I wasn't watching. I wasn't watching that at the time.
Are you sure you didn't watch Extra or whatever it's called?
No.
You sure you weren't watching that live?
Pretty sure I was doing anything else.
Joel? Were you?
No. No, I wasn't.
All right.
I was watching Entertainment Tonight like a classy fellow.
I can get behind that. Okay. That's really the only thing. If they felt like they must proceed with this, then
whatever. I would have announced it on Raw. And I'm not even... It doesn't even have to be announced on Raw. Just have her appear on Raw before the announcement. Just to be like, oh, this is a person who you might want to be aware of. Because she's going to be a WrestleMania contender now. Which,
but instead, we just kind of like, it just seemed to pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah. Which it did. It felt like Shaq fell through and they're like, oh, got to get a celebrity. And first one you can find on the street.
Quite next, literally.
Yes. Next match is Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show. And again,
Boo.
You have to book it with
Boo.
The same people
first
being
of all,
in the match.
Screw you and your rules. This match should be Cody Rhodes versus Goldust.
Cody Rhodes versus Goldust should happen. Yes, absolutely, a million times.
Big Show should have just, you know, climbed into a ditch somewhere and just hide until WrestleMania is over with. I would have been okay with that. But no. We have to have some Big Show at WrestleMania. And apparently this was the perfect idea.
This was the worst idea.
Although, if we have to have Big Show at WrestleMania, don't you think Team Johnny versus Team Teddy would have been much better for him?
Yes, because it would have freed up Cody to fight Goldust.
It would have freed up Cody. Big Show would have had something to do, which was the only reason why they put Big Show in this, because Big Show needed something to do.
Yes.
And but, it would have balanced. Because, I mean, you got Mark Henry on one side with Team Johnny, and then...
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense to have Big Show on the other side? It
would have given you two big guys, and now we're running the risk of Kali getting a slot.
Oh, which, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. It's these kind of thoughts that keep me up at night. Yeah.
I'm not okay with that.
Like,
almost as bad as Jinder Mahal getting a spot.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to fill these slots, make me feel better.
He's the worst.
He's the worst. Yeah, I'm going to basically say that this match, by all accounts, is a truly terrible, horrible idea of a match.
And it's no fault to Cody, because
Cody's
brilliant.
Brilliant. But the thing is, you know,
you can only do
I don't
so
think
much.
We can say Cody versus Goldust enough. It should have happened. It will forever be a blemish on this WrestleMania that it didn't
forever
happen.
Forever be a missed opportunity.
That being said, as much as The Rock is a match that's going to be a great match anyway with a completely flop of a build-up, I think this is going to be a total flop terror of a match that has been given the best build-up that it can. Because I really like Cody Rhodes presents another embarrassing Big Show WrestleMania moment.
Which was funny until they ran out things to show.
Yeah, they started that too early because they needed more to show. But I really like Cody embarrassing his competitor. I think it's something he does brilliantly. I think that the Big Show does have a nice blooper reel. And so that's actually a nice pairing. But yeah, it's going to end in a flop of a match. But if you have to, abiding by the rules set forth, having to keep these guys in the ring, I would not have built it up any other way.
Alright, I see this as panning out as Cody comes to the ring. And then, you know, after that we hear, where is the Big Show? Yo, Leo, fireworks. Big Show comes out. He, you know, raises his hand, screams at the people, and trips over his own feet, cracks his neck, and oops, he can't wrestle anymore. And Cody Rhodes establishes his dominance, keeps the belt, and we move on. Yes?
Quitch match. All right. Quitch match. All right. Final match that has been announced is the Team Teddy versus Team Johnny match.
All right. Give me a rundown of the participants as announced so far.
As announced, Team Teddy has Santino as captain with R-Truth and Kofi Kingston and three slots as yet to be filled. Team Johnny is Dave Otunga as captain, and Mark Henry, Christian, Jack Swagger, and Dolph Ziggler with one remaining slot to be filled.
That seems quite lopsided.
Yes, one slot versus three slots left. And we have one Raw and two SmackDowns to fill them. So
I say by a serious
book away.
Just by size, all, you know, sexual innuendo jokes put aside, size right now is kind of on the side of Johnny.
Yeah. I mean,
right now it's a handicap match. So if we go as is, yeah, I see the faces winning. As illogical as that is, we've got nothing but, you know, wins from Team Johnny lately. Like,
I know, I'm really concerned about that.
So I'm assuming we're just going to get, like said earlier, just a huge payoff for the good guys, and we're going to get nonstop Teddy Long for twice a week.
As much as, like, yeah, as a guy who is firmly, firmly on Team Johnny, who desperately does not want to see much Teddy Long.
Yeah, I know your stance on that. You're pro Johnny just because you're so, like, team not Teddy.
Yes. I am so worried about how well the Team Johnny members are doing right now in Preliminary Raws, because that's the build-up to a win from behind for the good guys, and that's unacceptable.
Okay. Just putting the match aside for a moment.
Uh-huh.
WWE, I know you're listening to us because, I mean, come on. It's us.
Yes.
I'm giving you three options for general manager. And they are basically the last three general managers that we've had in place before, you know, the whole Triple H taking over stuff. Okay. You could either bring back the anonymous general manager.
Okay.
Which is fine. Got annoying after a while, but it's better than Teddy. Two, you can go with Mike Adamly.
Okay.
He was as dull as a tree, but he's still better than Teddy. I know he called Jeff Hardy Jeff Harvey, and he completely botched words, but it's not worse than Johnny Laurinaitis, because, I mean, at least Mike Adamly could get the words out. Might have been the right words. Or William Regal. I think we know who wins there.
I cast a solid vote for Will Regal.
Me too. The dude is just a classy, classy gentleman.
Yes, he is.
Him and his Siamese daughters living in the attic? Or
in the attic. Basement. I think they're in the attic.
Yeah. I love the fact that he still references those.
My three acceptable GMs, William Regal, as you said, Vince McMahon to return on a weekly basis, or Mick Foley. I will accept any of those as a full-time.
And you know what? Yeah, you're right. Those are completely, like, by and large, better choices than what I made. What I'm saying is I would prefer, because let's be honest, William Regal as the general manager years ago, I don't know, it might have been 3 or 4 years ago, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
It felt pretty dry. I mean, he was a pretty big-time bad guy at that point, but it just felt like nothing. And his last reign as general manager was just dull to me. So, I just...
Here...
I would rather have this fork that's sitting on my desk. Don't ask me why there's a fork sitting on my desk. But this fork on my desk could be a better general manager option than Teddy Long saying playa every 5 seconds and doing his little grandma dance.
Here is my genuine hope for this match. We have previously likened this match to the King Cole match of last year, where it was an interesting build up, would result in a terrible match, going too long. We have a lot more. I have a lot more faith in this match. I guess I'm going to speak for both of us. But yeah, now that real people are wrestling as representatives, I
want more Johnny this and match. Teddy aren't real people.
No, they're figments of your imagination.
Well, you just said they were likened, so I mean, obviously they're werewolves.
Ah, of course.
See what I did there?
Yeah. I genuinely hope this goes past WrestleMania. I hope that
just so we could put off Teddy longer.
Yes, I hope that this happens. I would really like, since William Regal has recently been made GM of NXT, I would like him to decide that he should throw his hat into this ring and build up a team of NXT guys, and for Extreme Rules, we get William Regal.
That would be freaking terrible. They would get so squashed so quickly. It would be what? I can't even tell you who's on NXT right now. What? McGillicuddy, Tyson Kidd, T-Rex?
I'm not sure. I don't watch it. I've been hearing good things about NXT recently, so when I get a free moment, I'll probably give it another shot. I don't think I've watched it in 2 months, though.
I mean, where else are you going to see Johnny Curtis?
I mean, of course. But that's, I mean, anything to not have Teddy twice a week. If Team Johnny wins at WrestleMania, fine, I'm done. He can appear everywhere. I think a heel of a boss is a very important thing in WWE. Face general managers have never worked for me.
And they usually end up being boring.
Yeah.
Like Teddy.
It's what has happened. Let's but yeah, have a tag team. I'll take any way to fill up your mid-cards on pay-per-views. Stephanie can have a team take a go at it 1 month. Mick can have a team make a go at it. Just anything to keep.
Just kind of a, like a King of the Hill kind of situation.
Yeah, constant fight over control.
I'm okay with that.
I'm genuinely okay with this. If it goes in that direction, I'd be genuinely okay with this going past WrestleMania. So that's kind of booking in the future instead of retro booking like we've been doing for the rest of them. But, I wouldn't really do any retro booking to this one.
I think this one, they, out of all the crappy possibilities it could have gone in, it went in the best direction imaginable.
I think they started at the right time. I do like that there are slots left. I think if I did anything to change it, I would have people compete for the slots just so that the complete filler matches on Raw and SmackDown would be there for something. There'd be a purpose and a goal to those.
Right, yeah.
But other than that, I do like that it's taken a while to announce each team, so there's something to do on these promo-filled episodes. So, yeah, I think this is probably the best the best built of the matches this year. Those are the 8 matches of WrestleMania 28. I guess there is still time to make another one if they want to. I think last year had 10.
Something along that lines. And also, you know, not even throwing in, you know, kooky segments, famous people performing theme songs for Cena and The Rock.
Yeah.
We get Florida performing for The Rock. Or I'm sure the kids are calling him Florida.
Is that a name?
That's a name.
Wow.
His name is Flo Rida. Or if you're really friendly with him, he'll let you call him Mr. F. Ryder.
Yeah, there's going to be some long intros this year.
Yeah.
I was like, And it's because...
I mean, I'm okay with them bringing back the whole, like, band performing entrance songs. Because I thought those were fun at WrestleMania. But, I mean... Who's... MGK? I think that's his name. I mean...
I don't know.
Exactly. Him, and then you got Flo Rida.
I'm just saying...
Who's been, like, just... The theme song guru for WWE as of late.
I'm just saying that at WrestleMania, people tend to get longer entrance time, bigger ramp. And also, the bigger top-tier guys tend to get longer entrance time. We're going to have a 12-man tag match.
And they're in an outdoor football arena, so you know the ramp's going to be really long.
For the era match, the referee is going to get as big an entrance as the contestants.
True.
So how much of WrestleMania do you think is just going to be music?
I will go out on a limb and say 42%.
I would believe it. Just solid music.
We'll keep that fact up, and then we'll figure it out during the night.
Yeah.
Keep a stopwatch, and then we'll do the math.
I'll
let you do that, Joel.
I don't want to do that at all.
Well, good, because you're doing it.
All right. That's it for this week in Classy Ring Attire.
Hooray! We found something to talk about.
Yeah. Next week, I think, will be official WrestleMania predictions. So, get your ballots in. We'll be predicting the winners next week. But until then, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.